here's a story from The World.
China may be the biggest greenhouse gas emitter in the world. The U.S. is still the largest on a per capita basis. But China is also at the forefront of renewable energy innovation and also has some of the world's largest conservation projects. Beijing is trying to get to net zero carbon emissions by the year 2060. That means contributing no additional greenhouse gases to the atmosphere. Yifei Li is studying just how China can get there. He's an environmental researcher at New York University Shanghai and the author of the recent book, China Goes Green. Yifei, in your book, you talk about how China's ambitious goals envision an ecological civilization. How would you describe what's at the heart of the Chinese government's vision and goals for 2060?
The Chinese government is seeing and using this term ecological civilization as a national strategy. And they're doing this to really describe the Chinese Communist Party as an actor that tries to restore China back to its former glory. So the official history that the Communist Party has been teaching its people and has been peddling in official historiography is that China had a glorious past. And it's not just any kind of glory, not just any kind of civilizational leader. The Chinese Communist Party sees itself as building a uniquely ecological kind of civilizational leadership for the world.
Ecological civilization does sound like a noble goal, but you also describe China's green ambitions as coercive environmentalism. Explain that.
The idea being that if the goal of environmental protection is noble enough and important enough, and perhaps we can use that goal to justify the means of authoritarianism. In other words, using authoritarian approaches to accomplish environmental protection goals. What the Chinese government seems to be doing systematically at home and overseas is using environmental protection to accomplish authoritarian ends.
Right. Well, in your book, to get specific, Yifei, you describe how the Chinese government has used the pretense of environmentalism to exert control over communities. Give us some examples of that.
Very much so. We're seeing the Chinese government using, for example, facial recognition technologies to control how citizens sort their garbage and recycle under the pretense of a national park initiative or a conservation program. They are systematically relocating ethnic minority groups to create new national parks. On what China calls the Belt and Road Initiative, the Chinese government is pursuing a lot of government-to-government deals, once again, in the name of environmental protection, but these projects turn out to be categorically insensitive to dissenting voices. We're seeing the Chinese government using environmental protection as a reason to intensify trade manipulation.
So does this model work, either in service to the environment or to human or civil rights?
The success of China's brand of state-led environmentalism doesn't depend on a strong state. And in fact, the success depends on mechanisms that place Chinese state power in check. We see successful moments of Chinese coercive environmentalism when the state is open to public inputs from all sorts of non-state channels. To give you an example, the Chinese government developed this interesting app, which everybody can download, that's called Black and Smelly Waters. Now, through this app, the local authorities are getting inputs from the public. When they see a polluted body of water, they snap a picture and send them to the government through this app. And the government then send their inspectors what really can help the Chinese government achieve long-term environmental success is opening up the Chinese state to inputs from various walks of the society.
And what about the downside of civil rights with this model?
We've seen examples such as hydrological developments where large-scale hydropower dams are put in place without fully consulting various communities whose lives are affected. And when these projects go ahead, they not only have very substantial human costs, in fact, they turn out to have very significant environmental damages over the long run as well.
China is the biggest emitter of greenhouse gases in the world. They also have one of the most ambitious plans to go carbon neutral in the world, aiming to reach net zero emissions, as I said, by 2060. How do you think the government ultimately plans to get there? Will the policy continue to revolve around a government that remains insular?
There seems to be a very strong emphasis that China will continue to develop its carbon cap and trade mechanism domestically. That is a worrying sign. The Chinese government essentially has granted itself, or will grant itself, sweeping power in determining who will have these allowable emission credits that's assigned to them. Every business that there is will have some sort of a carbon footprint. I just don't know what kind of allocation mechanism will be the most equitable one. And if that mechanism is completely dictated by the Chinese government, there will be some worrying consequences down the road.
Whether we like it or not, will the rest of the world in the years going forward be essentially following in China's environmental footsteps, its policy, simply by virtue of the massive scale China presents?
A lot of the things that China has been doing are indeed environmentally beneficial, at least in the short term. But I don't think we're in a position to make environmental gains by paying social and cultural costs of these environmental programs. This is an opportunity for the whole world to come together to better deliberate what really are the kind of future that we want.
Yifei Li is an environmental researcher at New York University Shanghai and the author of the recent book, China Goes Green. He's been speaking with us from Shanghai. Yifei Li, thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.